Okay, we are in Selected Messages, Volume 3, and we are starting a new chapter this week, Chapter 23. And it's titled Appeal for a Church School. Amen. This stuff, I mean, if I, that would be like heaven on earth. You have a big old building with a bunch of students in it, and I'd live there. My wife and I would move there, you know, and be deans of the school. And just be there every day. I think we might get annoying towards the teachers, though. Maybe after class, we'll have our little Q&A session every day. There's no way I could not do that. Unless the Lord would have me go to sleep. So, anyway. She says here, it says, I promised that I would speak this morning in regard to the necessity of withdrawing our children from the public schools and of providing suitable places where they can be educated aright. I have felt surprised at the apparently indifferent attitude of some, notwithstanding the oft-repeated warnings, given that parents must provide for their families not merely with reference to their present interests, but especially with reference to their future eternal interests. The characters that we form in this life are to decide our destiny. If we choose, we may live a life that measures with the life of God. I like the way she talks here, especially when she says stuff like, with reference to their future eternal interests. You could tell a prophet's talking there, you know, because, not a lot of preachers, well, I don't think there's any in today's world that would have that in the back of their mind at any time, to the point where it would just naturally flow from the lips. But I could see guys like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, the minor and the major prophets of old, speaking in this way, especially Elijah with the school of the prophets. Are you kidding me? And so he would definitely, and we are to come in the same spirit of Elijah that John the Baptist came in. And so, and Sister White does say that there will be a school of the prophets in the last days. And we could see that the Lord's allowing us to do that even without a building. Because that's the way he prefers it at this point. But boy, wouldn't it be nice if we did have a building, a central location, and then and we had a few teachers that could be trusted. And that's what we did. We just, train the young men and the young women. Whoever wanted to learn. And even if the parents wanted to come and be teachers. That would be amazing. But she goes on to say that every Christian family is a church itself. The members of the family are to be Christ-like in every action. The father is to sustain so close a relation to God that he realizes his duty to make provision for the members of the family to receive an education and training that will fit them for the future immortal life. And I praise God for that too, because his spirit moves you to do that. Every dad here that is a believer understands exactly what I mean by that. You know, especially if your kids are still young. If your kids are old and are already out of the house and you find out the truth later, like we did in some era, like some of our kids were much older when we found the truth, it's a burden on your heart then. It's a little difficult because you raised them wrong and it's pretty well locked in most parts, but boy, can you plant some seeds, especially when you got a captive audience. You know, when they're grounded. So anyway, she says, his children are to be taught the principles of heaven. He is the priest of the household, accountable to God for the influence that he exerts over every member of his family. He is to place his family under the most favorable circumstances possible so that they shall not be tempted to conform to the habits and customs, the evil practices, and lax principles that they would find in the world. Hold on. I wonder if that cat's in the house again, because something's moving that doorknob again. Anyway, it goes on and says, upon fathers and mothers devolves the responsibility of giving a Christian education to the children entrusted to them. Now, what I said, darling, was I was just looking around in my office. I'm hearing these noises in here, like the doorknob's moving, and I think one of my cats, like this one cat that looks at me as his favorite human, he has a tendency to stand up, grab hold of the doorknob, and try to open up the door. And if he's in the house, he'll do that. If he knows I'm in this room, he will try to get in this room. It's pretty, I think it's neat, but can be annoying at times. A cat, yes, a cat. He's a big black cat with golden eyes, long hair, black flowing hair, which is kind of a problem for him in the spring. Because when he starts to shed in the spring, he has these large pads of matted hair that get stuck to him all over his body, and it takes about a month for them to fall off. I cut off most of them, but sometimes you just can't get them all. Anyway, getting back. Upon fathers and mothers devolves the responsibility of giving a Christian education to the children entrusted to them. They are never to neglect their children. In no case are they to let any line of business to so absorb mind and time and talents that their children, who should be led in harmony with God, are allowed to drift until they are separated far from Him. And this is one of the reasons I believe she says get them out of the public schools, because, you know, that environment is like the high school environment. And this is one of the reasons I like to hang out in the bars and the shoot and stick for a living back when I was a young man. When I went from the high school into the bars, I didn't see a big difference in the way the people acted. And it was always something going on. There was always something happening. Because in a school, you know, especially like the school that I went to in the south suburbs of Chicago, it was packed. And this was like a fairly nice neighborhood area, too, that we lived in. And so most of the kids were rich. And so there was always a lot going on. And it was just like when I think about high school back then and I think about my life in the bars, I don't see much difference between the two, because all my friends were there, just like in high school. We all drank together, just like in high school. You know, we always go to the parties together. Well, a bar is 24/7 party. I mean, these high schools are actually getting your children, and the grade schools now too, because it was kind of like that in the late 60s, because the grade schools were already getting corrupted back then. But they are getting the kids ready to have parties, you know, parties in society, like the cocktail lounge. That's what the high schools remind me of. It's just a big gathering of sinners having a good old time. And the only difference I see between the high schools and the bars is that the bars are darker, the lights are dimmed, and you're allowed to get drunk in the bar. Whereas in the school, you know, you do things in the bathrooms, of course, but you can't just openly do things in the schools. But all the conniving and everything else. So I can understand what you're saying. You get them out of the public schools. The main reason we took the kids out was because of the flyer that they sent home with the kids one day out of the blue, our high school children. And they says they gave the kids these flyers, and we had a decision to make. The parents, you know, says, if you want, your kids can come to school tomorrow, but it's going to be an all-day seminar. They don't have to come if they don't want to, but if they do come, you have to know that the seminar is going to be about how it's okay to have two mommies and two daddies. And that's the day we pulled the kids out of the school. You know, I mean, it was bad enough when I was going to high school. That was just crazy when they were doing what they were doing, trying to do to our kids. And so we pulled them out. So, yeah, amen. Thanks, Josh. That's a better way of putting it. It's the socializing. High school is the main education you're going to get in high school is how to socialize with other people of like-minded interests. And because you get your cliques, you know, you get your buddies and everybody hangs out. You know, you got the greasers, you got the burnts, we used to call them, or the air, you know, well, they called them burnts in our day. The guys that did all the drugs and stuff were the burnts. And then you had the jocks, you know, the guys that were into sports, and then, of course, the nerds and stuff like that. And so everybody had these groups, right? And the bars are the same way. The bars are set up to where everybody in that bar, it's a sports bar, so everybody there is jocks. Or this bar is like a biker bar, so everybody there is kind of like greasers slash type bikers, like, because that's the kind I was. And then you got the other stuff, you know. And so the bars were no different. And it's just training the kids up, because when I walked in, I felt at home. Left the high school, walked in the bar, felt at home. And so if you have the opportunity to homeschool your children, you should seriously consider it. And if you want some more information, just go to my homeschool page on the Homeschool Spurs page. Just about every week I update it because, and I don't look for these articles. They just happen across my desk as I'm going through the stuff that I research. I've got literally thousands. It has to be at least 3,000 or 4,000 articles on that page alone. And a lot of them are videos too. I got to the point where I just put links. I don't even, unless it's something new, it's just so redundant. So the same stuff happening over and over again. The public schools are not a safe place for children. And it's just very, very bad. It's just the gate by the steps. Oh, okay, thanks. All right. That's probably what, yeah, because that's what it sounded like. It was coming from behind me for some reason. Yeah, so thanks, Fran. All right. Okay, I thought it was a doorknob, but Fran says it was the gate by the steps. All right. Okay, so she goes on. She says they are not to allow their children to slip out of their grasp into the hands of unbelievers. They are to do all in their power to keep them from imbibing the spirit of the world. They are to train them to become helpers together with God. They are God's human hand, fitting themselves and their children for an endless life in the heavenly home. The education of our children begins in the home. The mother is their first teacher. When they become old enough to attend school, shall we permit them to enter the public schools? And then this next section is titled, The Public School or Church School? And pray about this. I mean, it'd be so nice if all of a sudden the Lord just blessed us with a building, and it was centrally located, and see, I don't even know how that would happen because a lot of us are hundreds and sometimes thousands of miles apart, so I don't even know how that would work. Maybe we would have to have a bunch of buildings. I don't know. Or we could just do it online. Yeah, because you can homeschool online, too. And we could easily do that with this chat room, too, with the video and everything. So that's something to think about. If we got any teachers in our number and you want to start a homeschool group, it's legal. In most states of America, totally legal. So anyway, this next one's titled The Public School or Church School. And it says, many years ago in Oakland, my husband and I conversed with a public school teacher in regard to the public schools in the city. He said to us, if parents knew of the iniquity that is to our certain knowledge practice in these schools, there would be fervor. Today I think they put a V in it. Fervor raised in regard to these schools such as neither you nor I can imagine. Now think about this. This is in the 1800s that this is being said. Today? Oh man, the kids are just brainwashed, indoctrinated. Everything from telling them Allah is God to Jesus Christ is nothing to evolution is sound. Homosexuality is perfectly understandable and okay. And some of the things, and I'm not even going to say these words in here, so don't worry if you got kids nearby, I'm not going to say it. But if you go to the homeschools page, you wouldn't believe some of the assignments they give 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, not even to mention the high school kids, some of the assignments that they send the kids home to do to themselves. That's as far as I'm going to say it. In our school system, and that's been going on well over 5 years now, they've been doing that stuff. And so, it's clearly the end times. They are trying to manipulate society. It's just like Hitler said it. You give me the kids, we'll change society in a few years. And he did. They're doing it here. That's why you see, it's already a police state in the schools. They manufacture these fake shootings and stuff like this, like they did over at Sandy Hook. That was, no kids died there. Have you seen the videos of the dads that were acting like they were the dads? Did you see the one video of that one guy that, the guy that was holding the camera obviously knew what was going on and decided, I'm putting this on YouTube. He's videotaping all the fathers. They're joking around, they're laughing, having a good old time, and as soon as, the one guy's told, okay, you're next in line, so he's going to be the guy that gets on camera and says, I just lost my son, right? So he's laughing and joking. All of a sudden, somebody tells him, okay, it's your turn to get up there, and you got 30 seconds. And so for 30 seconds, the guy just went around and started getting as somber as he could, trying to eke out a tear or two, and, you know, method acting. he was, if anybody's done acting in their life, you know what this guy was doing. He was setting himself up so that he can get on camera and look like he was tearful. And he had flashcards, yeah, no doubt. And so they faked it. Why? Well, if you make the schools look violent and scary, well, then you could put the metal detectors in there. You could put the police on every door. You could put the kids in jail if they do things in the school that they shouldn't do. You can get the kids used to a police state so that within 5 to 8 years of them leaving the school, they're members of society. And, you know, like, for example, a teenager leaving the high school at age 17, in 4 years, he's 21. In 1 year, he can vote. All right? So the minute he steps out of a police state type environment and steps into his neighborhood, and they're voting on whether or not it's a good idea to have a police state. If he's one of those little kids that got beat up a lot, he says, "Well, yeah, I think it's a wise idea to have a cop on the street corner because if it wasn't for the cops in my school, I'd be getting knocked around daily." Or whatever. It could be anything. It's not just the kids are getting bullied. It could be anything for them, you know, to be conned into believing it's better to have the police everywhere. So anyway, she goes on. After saying how she talked to that teacher in Oakland, California, I guess that was, about how bad it is in the schools back then, she goes on to say that the young people are rotten, or the guy was actually telling her that the young people are rotten, and what kind of homes they have is more than our teachers can tell. This statement was made over 20 years ago. Okay, now, okay, that's even worse. Let's say it's in, like, say, 1880s. I don't even know when this, I forget when this book is written, but 20 years ago. And she says, have the conditions our public schools improved since that time? Of course not. As a matter of fact, we know they didn't, because look at today. Going on, it says, some fathers and mothers are so indifferent, so careless, that they think it makes no difference whether their children attend a church, school, or a public school. And here's another thing, too. There's no mistake that a car costs $30,000 to $40,000. There's no mistake that a house that used to cost $3,000 or $4,000 in the '50s now costs $150,000 to $250,000. Forces mom to get out of the house and get a job. It used to be you save a couple of bucks, you buy a car. Now you save a couple of bucks and you have a payment, because it's a lot easier. Think about it. This is very crafty of them to do this. If you get mom out of the house, guess what happens? Well, what if mom has a few kids? Well, you can't watch them. You got to get a daycare center. And before you know it, the daycare centers are controlled by the government, because remember, kindergarten started when I was a kid to make it easier for the mom to go to get a job. And then they got preschool and then pre-preschool and... I don't know, some of these schools actually have 2- and 3-year-old kids in them, where other people are raising your children so mom can go to work. And the reason mom has to go to work is because you don't pay for it. You can't buy a car for $3,000 now. When I was a teenager, my first car, $3,600, new used. It was $4,000 on the showroom floor when I had that Skylark. And my dad bought it for me. It was $3,600. Never forget that. It was a 1972 Skylark. And now the same car, somebody in the Fowler near here is selling it for $19,999. That's the guy that used to own the Radio Shack, and so he does that $999 stuff, you know. He's selling it for $20,000. Same car. Actually, his is a 71. And it forces people to go into debt, because it's a lot easier. Think about that. Somebody walks up to you and says, you know, I'll sell you this car for $40,000. I can't afford that. Okay, I'll sell you this car for $350 a month. Well, yeah, I can handle that. So you're locked down. Now you got all these payments, and one income ain't going to do it anymore, unless dad's holding heavy. Mom's got to go out and work. And then the kids are forced into the school system, and the government smiles from ear to ear and says, thank you for your kids. Yeah, amen, Andre. Now it's a down payment. What we paid for cars when I was a teenager is now a down payment to get one. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe what they were asking for an old, like, I got a 2006 pickup truck. You'd think it'd be a couple, $3,000. No. The guy was unbelievable. But praise the Lord, I was able to get him down. Anyway, she goes on. We are in the world, they say, and we cannot get out of it. But parents, we can get a good way out of the world if we choose to do so. We can avoid seeing many of the evils that are multiplying so fast in these last days. We can avoid hearing about much of the wickedness and crime that exist. Everything that can be done should be done to place ourselves and our children where we shall not see the iniquity that is practiced in the world. We should carefully guard the sight of our eyes and the hearing of our ears, so that these awful things shall not enter our minds. And here's a good example of what she's talking about here, because it's not just the TV. I mean, there's certain things you just shouldn't watch on TV. You know, there's like documentaries and stuff like that, okay, but some documentaries even a little bit off the chart with this evolution garbage, but what are you going to do, you know? I used to love it when we started homeschooling our kids. I was a Sunday keeper at the time, and I was doing some computer work for this Baptist ministry, and I was able to get a homeschool course for all 8 of my children for the price of one child. And that was still extremely expensive, but they were asking us, how can you guys, with these big families, I mean, how can I pay for that 8 times? But they were nice about it because I was doing the computer work for them. And, but my kids were correcting it. Because, you know, even though we were Sunday keepers and so were the kids, we understood stuff about, you know, like the 7-year trib and all that stuff that was lies. The Lord was slowly but surely working our, you know, but away from all that stuff. But I used to love it. The kids would go through the books and say, hey, Dad, check this out. This is wrong. And then, yep, sure enough. And the kids would find it. I mean, it's just amazing how smart kids can be. You know, because they remember stuff. Their brains are a lot better at remembering stuff than us old guys. So again, oh yeah, the thing about the minds, guarding the minds. I can remember years ago, you get this thought in your mind, and I know a lot of guys that are like this too. Oh, I can identify with that character. You know, they'll watch some sitcom or they'll watch some drama TV show or some movie, and they'll identify with the guy in the movie, and all of a sudden they start acting like him, walking like him, carrying themselves in ways, and it's like their character changes to try to match the guy on the screen. And it could be just TV. It could be a Hollywood movie. Well, music's the same way. And it's so easy to prove it with the music. What happens when the heavy metal headbanging kids get together? They start having all sorts of growth in their follicle regions, right? Hair just coming out from everywhere. Because I remember when I was a young man, we were into heavy metal. You know, Zeppelin and all that stuff. And we had a garage band. And the guys that played the guitar, I mean, hair down to the middle of their back, throwing their head back and forth and stuff like that. And so they were emulating their favorite rock stars. Well, it's no different from guys that get into the movies. They're going to emulate whoever they think is their favorite actor. It's going to affect your mind. And music's even worse, though. I mean, you could be driving down the road and flipping through the channels on your radio, and all of a sudden a song comes on that you heard 30 years ago. And all of a sudden, you're singing along word for word. There's a reason for that. So going on, she says, when the daily newspaper comes into the house, I feel as if I wanted to hide it, that the ridiculous, sensational things in it may not be seen. It seems as if the enemy is at the foundation of publishing of many things that appear in newspapers. Every sinful thing that can be found is uncovered and laid bare before the world. And this is one of the things that irked me about the work that I'm doing, because I really don't like reporting on certain things. And there are certain articles I just will not put on the website, on the main page. I just won't do it. As graphic as they are and as how end time proving they are. But some of the stuff is just too vulgar. And some websites like Daily Mail and stuff like that, I don't care, and they have some excellent articles. People are sending me all the time, but I will not. I might use them in a video so I can blur out the sides so no one could see the garbs they got running along the side, but I can't send people to those websites because the whole right side is just covered with all sorts of Hollywood pictures. And, you know, clothing is not a mainstay in that city, I guess. I don't know, and I'm just not going to have anybody tempted in any way from that garbage, and so I don't use those articles. But still, I kind of feel sometimes like, you know, I don't like reporting on this or reporting on that or this disaster or this crazy political action or whatever. But I like reporting on it because of the fact that it shows the people what time it is. It lets them know we are that close to the end. And yeah, sometimes it's redundant, sometimes it's repetitive, but it's because they're not slowing down any. You know, they're going to continue to do what they're doing. And for those of you that send me the articles and even some of the comments, it's, wow, don't stop. Thank you so much. It really, you know, knocks my workload down considerably. But anyway, she goes on. And think about it. Just back then, they only had the newspapers. Now the TV with all the special effects and your cell phone, better yet. It used to be just the TV was bad enough. Now you can carry that TV in your hand. Like Dick Tracy in the old days, that wristwatch that he had with the radio in it and all that. Like a he had a camera on it and a... And I have no doubt in my mind, because, you know, having some of these ex-military guys that are friends have told me, says, you know, you think the technology is amazing now, that's at Best Buy or something. But if you're in the military and if you're a high-ranking officer, like, you know, lieutenant colonel and up, you're going to see things that are going to blow your mind that, for example, some things that are in the market now, the military had in their hands 20 to 25 years ago. And so, the thing with the Dick Tracy, what do they call that thing? Dick Tracy, Leonore. He was a cartoon guy. He was a cartoon detective. And he had a television thing. And he had, it was a comic book, too. I didn't really like the artwork because he had, like, one of those square jaws. Dick Tracy, that was the guy. Cartoon guy. But he had that wristwatch that had a camera on it and a phone in it. Well, look at the new iPhones that are coming out. Well, just the cell phones themselves can do that. It's more or less the same thing. But the new iPhones, not the iPhone itself, but they do have wristwatches now that have a Bluetooth connection to your cell phone. And then Apple has come out with a phone that is just a wristwatch, right? Is the video wristwatch or whatever. Apple just came out with, well, they've had it out for a while, but they got a real nice one out now. I guess they're saying, I don't know if it's nice. I don't like Apple. But they got the Apple i6 or iPhone 6 or something, and then the wristwatch that goes with it, and most people are still saying, oh, it's not the best yet. They'll think of something. You know, people will use it. And then you look at the Google glasses, Google eyewear or whatever, I don't know. I can't remember the name of it. Those are amazing. The Google Glass or whatever, yeah. It's like a projection in front of your eyes. And the technology is amazing, yeah, but you know they're going to slim it down. You know people are going to be wearing regular glasses, and you're not even going to be able to tell that there is a Google Glass in their glasses. They're eventually going to make glasses like that so that you can have teleprompters in front of you at all times. That way Obama can look like he's really smart, never use a teleprompter again because now he's wearing glasses. So if he ever becomes dictator, that is, which looks like that's where he's, you know, headed for, if the Lord allows it or not, who knows, who cares. I just want to go home. It doesn't matter to me. But anyway, let's continue. It says, the line of demarcation between those who serve God and those who serve him not is ever to remain distinct. And really, today, very easy to see the distinction between the two. And she says, the difference between believers and unbelievers should be as great as the difference between light and darkness. When God's people take the position that they are the temple of the Holy Ghost, Christ himself abiding within, they will so clearly reveal him in spirit, words, and actions, and there will be an unmistakable distinction between them and Satan's followers. And so like I was saying before, there's going to be, and Sister White touches on this too, I'm not sure, I think it's in the Great Controversy, but she says to something to the effect that in our day, there's going to be people that, yeah, ride in the fence, but it's going to be a little bit easier for them to see who, you know, the difference between the people on earth. Because there's only going to be two classes of people outside those that are on the fence. On one side of the fence, they're just bone evil, disgusting, and even the ones that claim to be Christians, they're all on that side of the fence. Very, very evil people. Then you got the people on the other side of the fence that are called Christians, and there's a very small group of them. And they really do walk with Christ. They really do have fruits of Christians. They really have their prayers answered. They really do have the smiles during the trials. And so the people on the fence are going to see this. They're going to see that unmistakable distinction between them and Satan's followers. And that day is coming. And it's easy for us, for those of us in the remnant church, we go out there and we see people that are claiming to be Christians. It'd be really easy for even a babe in Christ if you see Westboro Baptist preachers going out there calling, you know, God hates, I don't even like the words they use, but, and then make, and say thank God for dead soldiers. I mean, they're just, I honestly believe that that woman that runs it and her dad that just died, I honestly believe in my heart of hearts, they're actually atheists or Satanists doing their best to destroy Christianity or to make Christians look bad. I mean, that's the only thing that I can get in that response, because they're just way past. I mean, it's bad enough what the Vatican did by killing all those people claiming they were doing it for Christ. I mean, that's bad enough, but these people coming up here and doing it the same way is just, but using hatred with their words. And it just makes the Christians look bad. So even a babe in Christ can see that. But as a remnant believer, yeah, even our children can go around and we could see there's people in the world that claim to be Christians, but that you don't have to be a spiritual giant to know, no, you're not. You're not. You know, and no, we're not judging anybody. It's just like when someone walks up to me drunk, I'm not judging them drunk. They're telling me they're a drunk by their wobbly walk, their foul odors, their slurred speech. There's no judgment needed. It's just, that's why Paul said, be, you know, make righteous judgment. You know, I mean, come on, we're going to judge angels. So we have to figure this stuff. In other words, if you read your Bible daily, it's not going to be an issue in regards to what you're looking at. You're going to know what you're looking at. But at the same thing, at the same time, you can't have a judgmental spirit either, because the method that you judge people with is the method that you shall be judged. And so use scriptures and scriptures alone, because if you're going to adhere to that which is written and you're trying your best to strive onto that perfection, and you know what it says in the written word, and you know you should do this and you shouldn't do that, when you look at the other people, again, you don't have to judge. You know they're not walking with Christ. But at the same time, you know you have a burden to try to share with them. Says, look, get on the path. You're not walking up and say, hey, you're a jerk, get out of my way, you're going to hell. See ya. No, you don't do that. You come up and says, hey, I want to talk to you about something. You know, I want to share with you something that just amazes me and has blessed me and has made me the happiest man or woman alive, whatever. You know, try to get in there somehow, some way. Because we don't walk around with a judgmental attitude. We walk around with Holy Spirit-inspired glasses on, and it makes it very easy for the Lord to say, hey, that person over there needs to hear what you have to say, or that person over there needs to hear what you have to say, or just hand them a track, you know. So, this next section is titled, Educating Children in Bible Principles. And it says, some of God's people permit their children to attend the public schools where they mingle with those who are corrupt in morals. In these schools, their children can neither study the Bible nor learn its principles. Christian parents, you must make provision for your children to be educated in Bible principles. And do not rest satisfied merely with having them study the Word in the church school. Teach the scriptures to your children yourselves when you sit down, when you go out, and when you come in, and when you walk by the way. Walk with your children much oftener than you do. Talk with them. Set their minds running in the right channel. As you do this, you will find that the light and the glory of God will come into your homes. But how can you expect His blessing when you do not teach your children aright? Amen. Yeah, I read it all. Everything that can be done. I read the second paragraph. All right, the next page, it goes on to say, I am merely touching upon a few points on a number of subjects relating to the training and education of children. Sometime I hope to treat upon these points more fully. That just seems odd the way she says that. But anyway, she says, For I have been thoroughly aroused to realize that these matters must be presented before our people. Seventh-day Adventists must move in a way altogether different from the way in which they have been moving, if they expect the approval of God to rest upon them in their homes. And so, but then again, that's with any church that starts out, you know. So a lot of people say, well, you know, they were already stepping off the path at that time. Well, yeah, any Christian's going to step off the path eventually. And if they're weak, that is, you know, the devil's going to do what he can to get them off the path. And so we can't say that this is proof that the Seventh-day Adventist Church was going to hell in a handbasket. No, it wasn't until much later. Because right now, they still had a desire to do the right thing. It was the ninth hour. She goes on, she says, every faithful parent will hear from the lips of the masters of the master the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. May the Lord help us to be good and faithful servants in our dealings with one another. He tells us to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, helping and strengthening one another. And then she says, church, oh, this next one is titled, Church School Needed at Crystal Springs. And she says, we are almost home. We are standing on the borders of the eternal world. Those who prove worthy will soon be introduced into the kingdom of God. We have no time to lose. We should establish the work in the right lines here at Crystal Springs. Here are our children. Shall we allow them to be contaminated by the world, by its iniquity, its disregard of God's commandments? I ask those who are planning to send their children to the public school where they are liable to be contaminated. How can you take such a risk? We desire to erect a church school building for our children. Because of the many calls made for means, it seems a difficult matter to secure sufficient money or to arouse an interest great enough to build a small, convenient schoolhouse. I have told the school committee that I will lease to them some land for as long a time as they care to use it for school purposes. I hope that interest enough will be aroused to enable us to erect a building where our children can be taught the Word of God, which is the life, blood, and the flesh of the Son of God. Will you take an interest in the erection of this school building in which the Word of God is to be taught? We expect to have a school building in which the Bible can be taught, in which prayers can be offered to God, and in which the children can be instructed in Bible principles. We expect that everyone who can take hold with us will want to have a share in erecting this building. We expect to train a little army of workers on this hillside. And again, this is has always been a dream of mine. It's always been a prayer. I could see if the Lord was to bless us with a building, it would be for those young people with the exemplary character that are seeking to go forth and do the work for the Lord, even if they're in their 20s. It doesn't matter. We could have them come and spend a year or two at a school if we had a building. And we could just do a daily study in the Word and literally live the life, even cultivate the land, do the health message, go out and spread the message, and have occasions, you know, have opportunities from time to time to share our faith with others in a way that doesn't make the person nervous or feel like they're on the spot. When they're ready, they shall do it. You know, otherwise it's not school, then it's, you know, it becomes a chore and scary, and it shouldn't be. And so pray. So please pray. This would be awesome. I mean, and you know, I've got a bunch of grass here we could build it on. I'm sick of using a lawnmower. Well, whoever cuts, you know, either me or Fran cuts a lawn. But so if it's, you know, that'd be awesome. Anyway, she goes, there is no reason why this matter should drag. Let everyone take hold to help, persevering with unflagging interest until the building is completed. Let everyone do something. Some may have to get up as early as 4 o'clock in the morning in order to help. Brethren and sisters, what will you do to help build a school, a church school? We believe that everyone will regard it as a privilege and a blessing to have this school building. Let us catch the spirit of the work, saying, we will arise and build. If all will take hold of the work unitedly, we shall soon have a schoolhouse in which from day to day our children will be taught the way of the Lord. As we do our best, the blessing of God will rest upon us. Shall we not arise and build? And again, I say pray for this, because could you imagine having, like, I don't know, maybe just 5 or even 10 young men that are going to go out and become pastors, let's say, or street preachers, or, I don't know, faith healers, whatever the case may be. And just have a couple of years with them in an environment where it's Christ 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that would be heaven on earth. And then send them out you know, and just go out and do the work. And then they would bring more people in, of course, and then they would join the school as well and just keep going from there. I tell you, just reading this makes me want to pray even more and more and more about something like this. So I'm just going to put this at the top of my list. But chapter 24 is next, and so we're like 5 minutes away, so we may as well end it here. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this education that you have given us in your word and in the spirit of prophecy. And thank you for sparking an interest in some of the brethren that are present, if in fact they would want to take part in building a school, if that would be your will. Because we know what Sister White said, that the school of the prophets would be needed in the last days. And it would be an amazing thing for us to do that now as a church family. And so, Father, if there is a building, if there is a way to get this done, and if there are people that you trust that can do it, then here we are, Lord, send us, if we are worthy. If we're going to make a mess of it, please give it to somebody else. But at the same time, Father, we pray that you bless our faith, our wisdom, our discernment, and even our focus when we go in your word, so that we can be used by you in a way that glorifies you and brings even more souls into the eternal family. Again, we lift up all those that are on our prayer list, all the prayer requests that were mentioned in the chat tonight, and thank you again for your presence being made known as we gathered on the Sabbath evening. And thank you for changing the showbread once again. And please accept this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.